Yesterday morning, as I went for a mid-morning walk, things were a little different than usual. I live in a Houston suburb, and normally on Saturday morning, there are cars coming and going, people are out and about. There are usually kids in soccer or basketball uniforms getting in cars with parents. There are people who are either just coming home or leaving for work or heading out to the gym or to run errands. But yesterday morning, there were cars parked in almost every driveway. There was a stillness in the neighborhood. There was one guy out jogging. There was a man and his young daughter walking to the mailbox, and one person cleaning out their garage. I suspect there will be a lot more garage cleaning in the weeks to come. This is a new and a different time. Most of us have never lived through anything like this before, so we're in uncharted waters. A new reality exists that we're seeing for the first time. Instead of being called to go out and to do things, we're being called to stay home, to stay a safe distance away from other people. We may want to ask, what caused this to happen? And we might never know a complete answer to that question. Instead, maybe we should ask, what do we do now? How do we move forward from here? The answer most likely will unfold for us gradually as we pray and we listen and we respond to God's call to us. And what shall we do as followers of Jesus? Live as children of light. The writer of the letter to the Ephesians told the early church and tells us, live as children of light. The passage we just heard from the letter to the Ephesians is part of a longer discourse giving the people instructions, rules for how to live as Christians, how to overcome their former way of sin and darkness, of how to live in a new way of life, in obedience and faith as children of God, as followers of Jesus. It's about how they lived previously and how it should be now, about being light, life in Christ, transforming light. It doesn't explore why the people sinned before, what caused them to live in the darkness of sin. The letter is focused on how to live going forward as children of light. In the passage we heard from John's gospel, all those who we expect to be there for the man who had been born blind after his sight was restored fail him. They may have been there for him in his blindness. The text doesn't really tell us that. But when he's healed, after Jesus spits in the dirt and makes mud and puts it on the man's eyes, then sends him to the pool of Siloam to wash, after that, his parents basically disowned him. They lived in fear of retribution from the authorities, so they kicked him to the curb. They say he's a grown-up. He can speak for himself. They're not responsible for him. The people in the community don't even recognize him, even though he's been a part of that community for his whole life. Once he has been cured, once he can see, they don't recognize him. They no longer see who he is. They look in fear and cannot see in faith. And the disciples questioned Jesus. They wanted to know if the man's blindness was caused by his sin or the sin of his parents. The important part of this story is not what caused the man to be blind from his birth, his sin or his parents, or even exactly how his sight was restored. Jesus never really answers those questions. The point is the before and the after, how it was then and how it is now. The man was blind. now he sees. When the authorities question him about how it happened and who Jesus is, the man can never really explain just how it happened. But he's steadfast in the telling of what happened. The first time they ask him, he says, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." And the next time he says, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see." He tells the truth. He knows that he was born blind and now he is able to see. His knowledge and understanding of Jesus unfolds slowly through the story. Through the retelling of his story, each time he is questioned, his understanding of who Jesus is expanding. First, he only refers to him as the man called Jesus. Then, when questioned by the Pharisees, he recognizes that Jesus is a prophet. Then he recognizes that Jesus must be a man of God. And only after the man was run out of the synagogue and Jesus went to find him, does the man recognize Jesus as Lord and worship him. God's grace gave the man his sight. God in Jesus spit in the dirt, made the mud, and put it on the man's eyes, then told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. It was after the man did what Jesus called him to do, after he took action, he went to the pool and washed. After he responded to God's grace, it was then that he received his sight, that he was able to walk in the light, live as a child of light. God's grace is there for us, for each and every one of us, unearned and undeserved. And it is our responsibility to respond to God's grace in our actions, through our prayers, through our generosity, through our care for those who are vulnerable, through our care of all creation, by doing what God calls us to do, to live as children of light, to let God's light shine through us. I have seen and heard many folks living as children of light in the past few weeks. As I made some calls to check in with folks, I heard stories of neighbors checking in and offering help. Sometimes neighbors who in the past had only exchanged a wave in passing. I read that when Disneyland closed in California, they donated all of their leftover food to a food bank in Orange County. We live as children of light. We receive freely the grace of God's love, the grace given to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in response to that grace, we must walk in love. We must not hide in darkness, in fear. In faith, we respond. Now, we must respond in safe ways, with attention to the knowledge that's been shared with us by experts in public health. But we must respond. That response, sharing the light of Christ in the world, might mean praying for those that we love and praying for those we don't even know. It might mean dropping off groceries for a person whose health is more vulnerable. We must look to our doctors and scientists and public health experts for direction regarding our behavior and how to go about our lives. And for sharing God's love, for spiritual care and more, we look to the church. And I don't mean this church building. I don't mean this place. I mean the people. You and I are the body of Christ. You and I are the church, wherever we are, whether we're gathered together physically or gathered together virtually or spiritually in prayer. We do not have to be in the same building to be gathered as the body of Christ. Each one of us carries the light of Christ, and we can share that light with others by whatever means possible. Leaders here at St. Martin's and at many other churches are reaching out by phone to some of our more senior members. And a friend from my seminary days is a church organist, and his wife is a priest. And Friday night at her church, they led an old-fashioned hymn sing on Facebook Live. Hundreds of people, including my mom and me, watched and listened and sang along to some old favorites. It felt good. It felt like we were being the light of Christ. We were sharing Christ's light with many, many people. Maybe for you, sharing God's love happens virtually, via email or through online meetups or by phone calls. Maybe it's standing on your back porch, talking to the neighbor, over the fence, from a safe distance, as recommended by the experts. The point is, you and I, all of us, are the church. By the grace of God, we have been looking after one another for a couple thousand years, through many, many rough times. We, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, are equipped to handle this. And we also know that we can't handle this alone, by our own might. As we respond each time when we renew our baptismal vows to all of the questions about whether we will live out our faith, we reply, "I will, with God's help." We are equipped by faith, knowing that with God's help, we can be the church, and together we will live as children of light. Amen.